For our devotional time this morning, I would like to draw from a parallel between Moses and our Lord Jesus Christ, and draw from a Greek word that appears in the Gospel narrative as well as in the book of Hebrews, the word archegos, which means in Greek the chief, the highest leader, the author. Moses stands as the giant of the Hebrew salvation history. The Jews knew Moses as the great archegos, or the archon, which means the chief, the leader, or the lutrotes, which means the savior, who was sent by God to deliver his people from the bondage of Egypt. And in the earliest stages of the apostolic preaching in the book of Acts, Luke the evangelist has maintained for us two incidences in which this concept of the leader, the concept of our Lord Jesus Christ being the archegos, the leader, the chief, the highest leader, or the author, comes in. And I guess the apostolic preaching in its early stage had to convey to the Hebrew people, to the Jewish people, some thought or some prototypes with which they were kind of familiar with. They knew Moses as the archon. They knew Moses as the leader. They knew Moses as the chief, the highest leader, or the author of that exit from the land of Egypt, from the captivity. And the apostolic preaching really focused on that great leader, to say that if Moses was the great archon and the great lutrotes, the great chief, the great leader, and the great savior, the Lord Jesus Christ is even greater. I guess I'm stuck with notes here that go a little beyond 15 minutes. But the word archegos, or the word chief, the highest leader and author, appears in the New Testament narrative four times. Two times in the book of Acts, like in Acts 15, in Acts 5:31, and again two times in the book of Hebrews, 2:10 and 12:2. Archegos, leader, chief, author, initiator. If you turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 3, please, there we can see the setting of the first use of the word archegos in the book of Acts. Acts 3, starting with verse 13, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and the righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life. You killed the archegos of life. But God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this." In my Bible, I have made some crossings. "You handed him over to be killed." And then he goes on to say, Peter goes on to say, "You disowned him." And in verse 14, that is in verse 13b, and in verse 14, he says, "You disowned the holy and the righteous one." And then you killed the archegos of life. You killed not simply the archegos of a new nation. You did not kill simply somebody who had a high authority, but you killed the author of life altogether, the archegos of life. The audience here in Acts 3:15 is all Jewish, and we find them here in the temple courts, the visible center of their religious life, doing more or less what that great archegos, Moses, had asked them to do. You killed the archegos, the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. In chapter 4 of the book of Acts, there is another statement which is made, and I would like to just return back to it in just a moment later. But in chapter 4, verse 11, the Lord Jesus Christ becomes the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Up to this point, we have just one incident of similarity between Moses and our Lord Jesus Christ, the great leader and the even greatest leader, our Lord Jesus, Moses and the Lord Jesus. But the parallel goes on a step further. Moses was initially rejected, and Moses performed wonders and miraculous signs. In the book of Acts, chapter 7, could you please turn there, in chapter 7 of the book of Acts, verses 35 through 37. We just read from 4:11, Acts 4:11, that the Lord Jesus Christ was the stone which the builders rejected and which became a cornerstone. Keeping that in mind, and keeping in mind another statement which is made earlier in the book of Acts, Peter again speaking in chapter 2, Acts 2:22, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying that the Lord Jesus Christ was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did amongst you through him, as you yourselves know. The Lord Jesus Christ was a man accredited by God who performed miracles and wonders and signs, which God did amongst the people through him. In Acts 4:11, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ was the stone which was rejected. And here in Acts 7:35, listen to what Luke says, Peter says about Moses. This is the same Moses whom they had rejected. So Moses was also rejected. In the same way, the new Moses, the man from heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ, he was also rejected. He was the stone which was rejected by the builders. This same Moses whom they had rejected with the words, "Who made you ruler and judge?" He was sent to be their ruler and their deliverer by God himself through the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He led them out of Egypt and did wonders and miraculous signs in Egypt. And then on, he goes on to continue. Moses rejected. Who has sent you to be ruler and judge over us? Moses did also perform signs and wonders, miraculous signs. So did the Lord Jesus Christ. So the focus and the lights are taken from that great leader and the Archon and the Archegos of the Old Testament, that great figure of Moses. After all, he was the lawgiver. And the lights are focusing on the person and the work of a greater Moses, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another interesting concept that appears in this narrative is this comment which is made here in verse 36 of Acts 7. I'm sorry, in verse 35. He was sent, Moses. Moses who was rejected, and Moses who performed wonders and miracles, he was sent by God to be the ruler and the deliverer. And in the text, we read the word archon for ruler and soter for deliverer. Now, we have the same situation in Acts 5. If you turn back to Acts 5, verse 31, that God exalted him, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom they killed by hanging on the tree. God exalted him to his own right hand, where he is an archegon and savior. The same Lord Jesus Christ whom they killed by hanging him on the tree, God exalted to his own right hand and has made him prince, reads in the NIV. But in the original, archegon, kai sotira, prince and savior. The rejected Moses. The Moses who becomes a channel of God's blessing, bringing signs and miracles, and finally leading the people of Israel out of Egypt into the freedom of the desert and then on to the promised land. In the parallel, our Lord Jesus Christ rejected, and it's not time to go to the Old Testament to bring the whole account of the Old Testament into the picture. Rejected. Lived a life of perfect obedience to his Father. Died on the cross. He was buried, rose up again. And now he's at the right hand of the Father. God exalted him. Just think of Philippians 2 in this context. God exalted him and made him an archegon and a sotira, a prince and a savior, so that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sin to Israel. I'd like to just take a few moments to just apply, instead of going and opening this very wide subject to a lot of comments. What does it mean for me? When we were small kids, we used to play a game called the game of Archegos. We used to go out in the fields, in the yard, about 5-6 of us little ones, and we had to choose an Archegos. We had to choose a leader.
And the game was, anything he did, we would do. Exactly a Xerox copy of what he was doing. He would walk crooked, and we would also walk crooked. He would go backwards, and then we would also go backwards. A line of boys and girls, one standing behind the other, and the Archegos would go ahead of us and would show us the thing we were exactly to do. The Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in Hebrews 2, and could you please turn to Hebrews 2? Chapter 2 and verse 10. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author, the Archegos, of their salvation perfect through suffering. For the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family, so Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. If we were to draw something out of that Moses and the new Moses parallel, I guess one thing would be to draw from the powerful sense that the apostolic preaching was making, the power of the apostolic preaching that was drawing from the Old Testament in order to make thoughts of the Old Testament clear to the time of the preaching. It was occupying all the sources available in order to present the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one thing we can draw out of this. And the second thing would be this concept of Hebrews 2:10. You see, that great Archegos, that great leader, our Lord Jesus Christ, is in a specific type of business. He is in the business of bringing many sons into glory. He's in the business of bringing many sons into glory. This is his job. To bring many sons into glory. He said, O oikodomiso mou tin ekklesia. I will build my church. But at the same time, esseste mou martyres. You will be my witnesses. This is my job and this is our job in that great business in which our Archegon is. His work is to bring many sons into glory. His job is to build his church, and our job is to be his martyrs, to be his witnesses. Well, this does not stop here. But the great new Moses, our great Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, the great Archegos, he's also the Archegos of faith. As we read in Hebrews 12:2, he is the initiator and the perfecter of our faith. He is the Archegos and the teleleiotis of our faith. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Who endured the cross. Who hang in there for the joy that was before him. And the joy that was before him is also the ultimate goal of his work, the many sons who will come to glory. We can go on to say that this concept of this parallel of Moses and our Lord Jesus Christ has tremendous dimensions. Last night, after I got done writing down notes, the more I was looking into the New Testament, I guess preoccupied by what I was going to say this morning, I was seeing more and more parallelism. In the book of Hebrews, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ was faithful like Moses was faithful. And many others. Not only that, but you can go to another extreme, even to see a parallel between Hebrews 11, 24, 26 and Philippians 2, 6 to 9. But the Lord Jesus Christ is our archegos. He is the archegos of life. He is the archegos and the Savior. He is the archegos of our salvation. And He is the archegos and the accomplisher and finisher, perfecter of our faith. Our position is to follow the archegos. And our job is to follow Him in His path. You see, He's, as we said, in the business of bringing many sons into glory. And our lifestyle and our witness for Him should be oriented by and guided by the same principle, the principles that were guiding the earthly life and ministry of our great Redeemer and our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, the bringing many sons into glory. Let us pray. Father, we thank You in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ for the great Moses, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, this morning we gather together in His name to worship Him in the first hour, to exalt His holy and marvelous name, to say that He is the Savior and the leader. And a while ago, Father, we thought of Him being the leader and us follow Him. And we pray that You help us in following Him. Father, may it be possible that His joy might be our joy, the seeing many, the coming of many sons into glory, seeing men and women, boys and girls, from our neighborhoods, from this city, from all over, come to know Him as their personal Savior. For we ask in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.